proposal had not been presented nor discussed by the WBAI lab, the WBAI bylaws committee, or the WBAI unity caucus. Recently, the WBAI lab chose the constituency model over the KPFA model in an 8-3 straw poll with one abstention. The WBAI bylaws committee most recently chose the KPFA model over the constituency model in a 28-10 straw poll with two abstentions. Altogether, 52 people expressed their preference in these straw polls, a very small proportion of the listener sponsors. The 500 or so signatures supporting the KPFA model on the petition circulated by the WBAI Committee for a Unified Membership are some indication of people's preference, but they do not necessarily represent the choice made in response to thoroughly explicated and discussed presentation of these two models. Were we able to have a discussion among a larger number of listeners of these two models and the compromise I offer, we might be able to agree on a compromise which could be supported by a larger number of listeners than either the KPFA or the constituency model. That was my hope, perhaps excessively idealistic. I mentioned the ideas in this proposal some time ago at the bylaws meeting in which we first discussed the unity proposal following its presentation to the bylaws committee. I took from the unity caucus proposal those aspects I supported. These are: one, the goal of increasing involvement in WBAI of underrepresented, exploited, marginalized communities. Two, setting aside seats on the local station board for these communities. Three, giving these groups the power to nominate to these constituency seats. The parts of the model that I did not support and others criticized as well, I changed, bringing it closer to the KPFA model. I did not support multiple elections, one for each constituency. Two, voters needing to vote in person. Three, voters having being restricted to voting in at most two constituency groups, rather than being able to vote for any and all candidates. This proposal was my own. I am not and have never been part of the Unity Caucus. It was only at the meeting in Houston that the interest of some members of the Unity Caucus in this proposal became clear. What I have just passed out, and I hope you all have read prior to this meeting, is the proposal I gave out at the last IPNB meeting in Houston. As I said in the email I posted on November 29th, this version is out of date for the following reasons.
Can I just take the foundation?
One, paragraph 2 defining membership is no longer relevant because in the meeting I verbally accepted the definition of membership selected by the IPNB in Houston, which was described previously, so I'm not going to review it. So, whenever my text reads listener member, it should now read listener sponsor member. Two, I said 6 out of 36 seats would be allocated to staff, but this differs from the IPNB position on listener-staff ratio. According to their current thinking, for a 36-seat board, 9 seats, one quarter, would be allocated to staff. Notice I have not adopted their 24-seat limit for local station boards because I don't agree with it. Three, the second sentence of paragraph 4, any listener member may be nominated for a board seat by the signature of 50 listener members who are members of the same subclass as the prospective nominee, is no longer applicable since there are no subclasses of listener members. Rather, people seeking a constituency nomination could be nominated by 50 listener sponsor members who declare themselves, in other words, who self-identify as members of the same constituency as the nominee. I have stayed with the 50 signatures rather than going to the IPNB choice of 15 because 50 indicates broader support within the community than 15 does. I think 15 is an inappropriately low for all seats, including at large seats. Four, likewise the section quorums and other minimum requirements for registration and voting is not applicable because there are no longer subclasses of listener members in this proposal. Now I'm going to read the proposal.
Can you summarize it?
Can I summarize it? There are two classes of members, listener members and staff members. Listener members are defined as we heard previously, the IPNB has defined them. There would be 36 local station board seats. 15 of these would be allotted to the 13 mission constituencies described in the constituency proposal. I'll list those if you want me to, but I'm not going to otherwise. 15 would be at large and 6 would be allocated to staff. Now the footnote, which was left out of what I posted, says, I have eliminated geographic constituencies because I do not believe that the political, social, and cultural differences between areas outside of New York are sufficient to warrant separate seats for New Jersey, Long Island, Westchester, Connecticut, etc., though I think some representation of suburban areas on the board is desirable. I would hope that this would be an outcome of having candidates from different outlying areas in the at-large category. There would be only one election. All listener members would vote at the same time. The ballot would contain 14 boxes, one for each mission constituency and one for the at-large constituency. Each listener member may vote in all of the constituencies, although they are not required to. They can vote in as many or as little as they want to. For the mission constituencies in which there is more than one seat, and more candidates than there are seats, voters can indicate their first and second choice, and the instant runoff method would be used to determine the winners. In the at-large category, if there are more nominees than seats, voters would rank their preferences, and the single transferable vote method of proportional representation would be used to determine the winners, just as in the KPFA model. Once the votes were tallied, the same process as used in the KPFA model would be used to ensure at least 50% people of color and at least 50% women are seated. That's really all I think you need to know. I just wanted to say, is Leslie still here?
She's so excited.
Well, I was confused about what this uniformity requirement meant. It was not clear to me whether that meant that you could specify that this is how you have to do it, and some people, if they want to, can add this on, which is what this model proposes to do, or if it meant everybody had to do exactly the same thing. Right. I don't think the IPNB made that clear.
Well, right. My understanding is that's what we voted for. That's right. That's what uniformity means. The wiggle room was in the number of members.
The thing is, if we vote for this hybrid model, you got the support of the three labs, and the national board is agreed on that, I think that could be applying in the five areas. You know what I mean?
Isn't decentralization uniformity? Many things run that way. It doesn't mean it doesn't have a central board. So does this preclude decentralization, which leaves a degree of relative autonomy intact?
Listen, the thing is, this is what Leslie and Janice at least think the IPNB meant.
Right.
If that would preclude, as the vote of the IPNB stands, it would preclude this model, because this model, this model will have to be uniform across the five listening areas, but it can't really constitute. There's no room, according to what they passed, for this model and the KPFA model.
I'm sorry, I was out of the room for a minute.
I was just saying that it was not clear to me what uniformity meant. Whether it meant could mean a list of it wasn't clear to me whether wasn't clear to Bob either. What uniformity meant, whether it meant that all five areas have to have exactly the same procedure, or whether there's an overall procedure with some possibility of variation within that procedure allowed to the different communities.
Are you talking about the racial categories specifically?
No.
She's talking about in case
talking about the election procedures.
The election, yeah. The vote internal uniformity, like the will be the same rules for the five different areas.
Same
the question,
right.
What is your,
I don't
say
what
the question she has, there's a uniform, the notion of uniformity, does it allow, for example, for New York City area to vote to have the hybrid model, for example?
No.
Or does it not?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
So it does not. So she's saying
uniformity means that the same structure of an election will happen.
That's
I don't know how.
Wait a minute.
No, you said it right. That's the way it is. It will be the same rules for the
All five stations.
That's what I
said.
Same rules.
No,
the rules are
different constituents.
Well,
appropriate
for different areas.
You mean, let me say this another way. But uniformity does not mean that they will that the bylaws will give guidelines, and then each five listening areas will develop within those guidelines how to do elections. That's not uniformity.
Right, but could the uniformity say that if the station area chose to have constituency seats, that they would be elected in the following manner, and the at-large seats would be elected in the following manner?
I don't believe that's uniform.
Yeah.
Well, that's guidelines,
yeah,
and
let,
each station
let's
decides
let's
what its
constituency is. Well, I don't think that, I just don't think that that was made clear.
So, yeah, Donna, you finished?
I'm finished,
okay. I just want to go straight. There's important information.
The compromise that we offered had with this option that you have a uniform model across, you know, the stations, but that there would be options of categories to be selected in the local area, but our model was not even, you know, they rejected it out of hand. So that was actually the compromise that we came out on Sunday morning.
Right.
But they didn't even deal with it.
But you're going to present it, right?
No.
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to go into the KPFA model very quick. That it's one information only, so okay, one information, one.
Also information. Donna, you might want to look. I think I had asked you that same question in the beginning. Remember, I was pushing that question,
yeah,
and I thought Leslie answered it.
But
part, right, but part of the summation was that, therefore, it was still, bottom line, it was still an open question as to whether or not the uniformity position would end up holding. Is that not true?
Every sentence in the bylaws are, in that way, an open question. Until a vote is taken and two-thirds of the interim board and three out of five of the labs and the lawyer looks at it, until all that's done, everything is obviously an open question. But my best interpretation or understanding of where the present membership of the interim board stands is that there should be a uniform structure to elections in all five listening areas.
Yeah, but Leslie, they voted on that three times, and the first two times they did not vote for that. It was on the third vote the next day that passed.
I said, my understanding of where the board stands at this
now,
point.
Right.
That's what I mean by it.
I just said about 12 seconds before that everything technically
yes.
is still an open
okay.
question.
Right.
My best understanding of the majority, overwhelming majority of the interim board right now mm-hmm. is uniformity in the election.
Okay.
What I don't know is where all five labs stand on that. That's another element.
I'd like to add, maybe what one would present is to say that is their interpretation of uniformity, because it is not clearly an absolute uniformity, because if you're saying you can have from 18 to 24 members, that's not uniform. Well, no. So,
all right.
No. Well, that's you.
How long does this question really need to be debated?
No, I was just...
Right. How long do
another 5 minutes.
This bylaws process going.
I'm not saying
wait, don't make it out of dialogue. Just one minute. I think that was clear on that. I mean, this is an open question. I mean, we don't have, nothing is finalized yet. So people should look at this way.
But nothing is finalized, A. B,
I will do, and I'm only one person with one vote, I will do whatever I can to move us toward finalizing this process sooner rather than later. We are so late in this process, it is ridiculous.
You got
2 seconds.
Okay.
I assume that the different constituencies would apply in different areas where there are different compositions of listeners.
Okay, that's not important information.
It's a question.
I'm going to try to describe some of them. How should I? Who am I actually addressing? I guess I'm really speaking more to the lab.
Excuse me, Paul. Miguel.
Yeah.
You dismissed him, and he made a very interesting point, and I think you should have said more than that. He made a point, and I thought that was good. He said, I don't want to paraphrase. Could you repeat what you just said about the constituency?
That there would be different constituencies in different areas because of different population composition.
And that was the point that people were making about how in KPFA didn't include people in its area and that New York had, that's the point.
Okay.
So I just thought you should have heard that.
But I think that we just come from a long discussion about...
No, I'm just saying that I thought it was a good point.
Okay, Paul.
And it should have been heard.
Paul.
I'm not sure how I should stand.
Stand
over here.
What's next on the agenda?
Can you just start?
All right, this is going to be. I want to give a short description of KPFA, and I'm going to try to respond.
Hey, are you calling this meeting to order?
Yes.
Paul, can you just start?
Yes, I can start, but I can't speak when other people are speaking. It's
yeah, but just go ahead. Can we just listen? We're going to try to leave before 1 o'clock here. So just let the guys start. Okay, go
right. One of the differences between KPFA and Donna's model is that in Donna's model, certain voters have rights that other voters don't have. Namely, voters who are given the right to nominate candidates in constituencies. All right? In KPFA, any voter can nominate any candidate. The procedure for nomination in KPFA is that if a candidate submits a petition with 10 nominating signatures, they can become a candidate. Now, the board has actually raised it, I believe, to 15. But in the hybrid model, only members who self-identify as members of constituencies could nominate.
Ms. Miguel, point of information.
Look up. Let him finish.
I just want to understand what's happening there.
Let him ask his question.
Wait a second. Are we getting a presentation of the different models?
No.
Well, what's going on here now?
I'm presenting KPFA in the context.
You're presenting the
KPFA position.
KPFA model.
Okay.
In contrast to the hybrid model, and the hybrid model was presented in contrast to the KPFA model.
Yeah, but you're going to concentrate on the question of the 50% diversity, you know.
KPFA has a diversity requirement that at least 50% of the board be people of color. At least 50% of the board be women. That, and there's a mechanism that goes with it that's built into the model. The mechanism is as follows. After the voting takes place, if it turns out that there are less than 50% people of color who have been elected, there is an adjustment process which moves candidates of color up to elected seats. The only limitation on that is that the people who are moved up into the elected seats have to have at least one-third the number of votes as the people who they're replacing. All right? So it is guaranteed, assuming there are enough candidates, it's virtually guaranteed that in the KPFA model, you will have a board very similar to the WBAI board which is 50% people of color, 50% women, at least. Now, this is a very critical issue. What's critical here is the fact that there's a mechanism in the KPFA model. There are other listening areas outside of KPFA that, in terms of the board representatives and the labs, there is general support for a 50%, 50% diversity requirement. There is not support for a mechanism to ensure that. Essentially, what is supported in the other areas is a goal. This is true of Houston. This is true. Washington, D.C. doesn't even have a goal. They don't have any diversity requirements. So what this board has to consider is whether it wants to choose to isolate itself and follow its previous course of supporting the constituency model, or whether it wants to build support for a diversity mechanism. And in my view, that has to be built with the labs of KPFA and Los Angeles. And it has to be built around the concept of the KPFA diversity mechanism. If those three labs do not come together, you will not have sufficient support within the labs for a diversity mechanism. And if WBAI is not a part of that negotiating process, Los Angeles and Berkeley will probably negotiate with Houston around a diversity mechanism that is more of a goal than a mechanism. That, I believe, is the political situation that we face. In addition to that, the national board, I count approximately six supporters for a diversity mechanism on the national board at this time. There's the five former majority, six former majority members are still on the board. One of them has clearly stated he's opposed to any diversity. That's George Barnstone. Within the dissidents who were appointed, Teresa Allen, Jabari Zakia, and I'm not sure about Rob Robinson. I don't know if they support a diversity mechanism. They may support diversity in principle, but the mechanism is not clear. What I'm saying, what I'm leading up to, is that if you're for diversity, if you're for a diversity mechanism, there has to be a concerted political effort to build a consensus on the national board and among three of the five labs. If you don't do that, if this lab goes on its own and continues to pursue a constituency model, which after tonight will have been rejected by four or five labs, rejected, and you talk about a uniform model, there's no possibility whatsoever that a constituency model will be accepted by three or five labs or by two-thirds of the national board. So this exercise of pursuing a constituency model at this time, in my view, is the worst thing that could be done if you truly support diverse boards throughout the Pacifica network.
Fine. Thank you. So you heard, so for the people from the lab members, you heard the two positions. So what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try to ask who second the hybrid model and who second the KPFA, and that's why, so.
Slow down a second. Now, what is it on the table to be voted on?
Okay, and the table to vote it on is the hybrid election proposal based on the Unity Caucus and KPFA election proposal. That is by Donna Gold. That's what you got. That's one.
Okay.
And the other part is the KPFA, which is internal, the diversity requirement, 50% people of color, 50%, 50-50. Women and men, and 50% people of color.
So that's the KPFA.
That's model. The KPFA.
So the KPFA
internal, in that position, you're not voting in terms of the whole KPFA model. You're just voting on that two questions. Okay?
Point of clarification.
Point of clarification. Mimi.
There's obviously a lot of people who spoke to the issue of the quote-unquote constituency or inclusion model.
Right.
It would seem appropriate to add that to the,
yes.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
right.
I think our board has not ruled that out, and that needs to be one of the options in the voting process.
And I would like to make a motion that model be considered. And it's been seconded.
Right, no problem.
Okay.
All right, let's go one by one. So to be clear that it's second the position that the constituency matter should be included as a motion, and it's second. So let me ask first. Hold on a second.
Procedure. I don't hear a motion for the two models that you have on the table.
Okay, let me just it's already there. The first
already where?
It's okay.
You gotta put it on the table.
Okay,
and
Errol, can I just let me?
Well, then I'll put it on the just, table. Okay?
Right. Okay. There's 3-1. Let me just go and the procedures will be as follows. I'm gonna ask who is second the hybrid model in the lab. Okay. Who second the motion of the hybrid model from the lab? Who second that? The first motion here. Who second Donegal model?
Could you state what it is that we are trying to consider at this point?
Okay.
Well, just thank you, Larry. I knew I could.
All right. So is that clear? Okay. Who second?
Which of the models we like?
Right. No, I'm trying to see. Look, if nobody second Donna Gold model, it will eliminate it automatically.
Okay. Let me just see, because that's what I'm trying to understand. Yeah. See, here's the question. Obviously, the hybrid model versus the KPFA model is qualitatively superior in several areas in terms of the representation, et cetera.
No.
On the other hand, if we don't second that...
Right, it's gone.
Okay, if we don't second the KPFA, what happens to that?
It's also gone. It's not the KPFA model. We're just voting for that position, and I'm trying to make that clear.
Which position?
The position of the Donald... motion in turn of the, the hybrid model that she just read, and you have a position about that. It's in paper. It's right here. She distributed.
Right.
And the other one is in turn of the 50% of men and women and 50% of people of color, which is the representation of the KPFA model. Okay, so that's
just a vote on that. That's not accurate, Miguel.
Okay. So what is the accurate about your model, Donna?
I said that that the results at the end of the voting, the results would be the 50-50 method would be applied to the voting results in my model as well. The difference is that in the KPFA model, everybody votes for all of the candidates. There are no seats set aside for constituencies, and the voting method is uniformly single choice, transferable, whatever it is, proportional representation voting. That's the difference in the model, in my model, to that model.
Okay, this model.
Yes.
So people who second the Donegal model, please raise their hands.
Second? You mean to just to vote on?
Just to second that, to see if somebody wants to adopt as a motion here, and we can vote. So it's gone. Nobody raised their hand. No support. Yeah. People who second KPFA.
I think what we're doing here, unless we find a way to arrive at some kind of either what Paul is talking about or some other stuff. Otherwise, we know what the result is going to be.
I know. I'm trying to have that clear.
That's why it's
right. Okay. Okay. People who second the KPFA model. Okay, it's second by that. So the constituency model is already second. So people who agree with the constituency model, please raise their hands.
Say again.
This time we're referring to the thing because that's the last one.
Say that again.
People who agree with this. It's two now. One was eliminated.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's just two positions here.
Can you be clear on the statement?
Okay. We're voting in the constituency model now.
You're voting on the constituency model.
Right.
Okay.
People who agree, can they please raise their hands on the constituency model? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Don't forget John
Cole.
Six.
I count seven.
Wait a minute.
I count seven.
Okay.
And 1, 2, 3 is not here.
4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. The KPFA model, 2. And nobody abstain? Okay. Abstain, CC abstain. So I guess you got the answer. That's what it is.
But there's a critical thing that we need. There's a prohibition on Ray. There's a prohibition that appears to be in place against staff who are active at the station sitting on the board. Now, the concept that you can sit on but you have to resign, forgive me, the world of contradictions would then indicate that you are not staff if you resign your programming time or operational duties. So I would like to raise that again, and I would like, our board was already on record at our retreat, but I would like our board formally to reconsider that it is imperative to keep that nexus to the station and to respect workplace democracy sufficiently to include active participating on air or on operational staff as members of the board.
So I'd like to second that motion.
But that's making the motion.
I want to second
that. Yes. New motions, because there are a lot of new motions that we can
excuse
make.
Excuse me.
You can't
make
the motion.
You can make it on any of the board to make. Wait till you're elected, Mitch.
Yeah, I make a motion, Mitch.
Okay, one sec. All right, Link. Okay.
Okay, I make a motion that any restrictions on any staff personnel be removed or not. Are they on? Are they already been put through?
And this draw.
Yeah, that's ready.
Okay, that the BAI lab is opposed to the prohibition against.
Can I just turn what I said into a motion?
Okay, go ahead.
But that's what I'm trying to do.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Can we vote on it?
You want to give me the wording?
I think the wording is that any prohibition that staff members resign their posts in order to sit on the national board be removed.
Right.
All right.
It was that any, in order to serve on the national board, if anybody was on air, they would give up their on air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought I understood that very vividly.
There are a lot of staff who aren't on air.
I'll say it for the fourth time. Okay. Any on air staff need not resign their posts if they are duly elected and should be duly elected to sit on the national board.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I second it again.
Okay.
The third time.
People who are agree with the position that we just.
Not from you.
Okay. Any question?
No, you don't actually.
Look, this is the most democratic lab. Please just hold it right there. All right.
So,
question about that. Just a question clarification.
Miguel, I don't hear you.
Question about what the motion that the was just stated by Mimi.
Are we going to vote? Is that what you're saying?
Just if people have any question about that.
No question?
Okay, it's second?
It was second.
Okay. People, please raise their hand. People who are agrees with the motion that was just raised by Mimi. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Abstention.
Did you do Anthony?
Two.
Nine.
Yes.
Nine.
How many I say?
Nine.
Nine. 2 abstention. All right. So is that is.
How many opposed?
There's no opposed. This is two abstention.
Okay.
All right. Look, I just want to give you a very quick 1 minute that you can raise the issue, and also Jim. To 1 minute.
Okay. I'm sorry, we have to leave for Rockland County. I just wanted to tell you that we got some emails from letters of support that I'd like to read. We support the constituency model for the new Pacifica Radio bylaws. We support the WBAI lab, and we wish Gail Golden and John Cohen to continue to be on the WBAI lab. This is about fair representation and down-to-earth democracy. Nancy Tzu and Len Tzu, who are both Chinese. I support the WBAI lab, Phyllis B. Frank. I support the lab. You've all been doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Susan Godet Davis. Since we will be be unable to attend this Tuesday's lab meeting.
We would like you
to include our names on a petition to indicate our support for the constituency model for the New Pacifica Radio bylaws. Kind regards, Philip and Francis Greenspan.
Just give us.
Thanks for all your excellent work. Can't come to the meeting, but you have my support for Gail and John and the constituency model. Thank you all for doing a great job for all.
I think that we got the picture. We got the message.
Now,
let her finish.
The BAI lab is under attack for supporting the constituency model, which guarantees a seat to underrepresented communities and outlying suburbs. We support the WBAI lab. We have...
Now, when you were doing your stuff, people were...
Okay, can you just finish?
In 24 hours, we got 29... indications, signatures, and emails of support for the lab.
Thank you.
And now, 500 signatures in New York City, okay, and New Jersey, 500 signatures equals 20 signatures in Rockland County because the population of Rockland County is 287.
James. I just propose that to adjourn the meeting. Meeting is adjourned.
Others had proposals for the board as well. We would like to make them.
The meeting's over.
The board can walk out if they want to not hear them.
No, the board was adjourned. The meeting is adjourned.
Aren't you happy you are awake?